First, let's take a look at our headlines.
Council of Ministers visits Cienfuego province.
Cuba and Russia expand cooperation.
UN lists firms linked to illegal Israeli settlements in the West Bank.
Iranian president says U.S. dreams of regime change in Tehran.
And now the news in detail.
The second working visit of the Council of Ministers to the southern province of Cienfuegos began on Thursday. President Miguel Díaz-Canel heads the delegation. A little over a year ago, the province known as the Pearl of the South received the members of the Council of Ministers. On that occasion, the ministers exchanged ideas with the people on economic and social objectives. The purpose of this visit is to take a first-hand look at the issues that concern the territory and to follow up on the fulfillment of the recommendations of the previous visit. On the 15 indicators identified in the earlier visit, 5 have been fulfilled and 10 are in process. This is the fourth government visit this year. It was preceded by visits to the provinces of Las Tunas, Santi Spíritus, and Artemisa.
Russian President Vladimir Putin has accepted the invitation of his Cuban counterpart Miguel Díaz-Canel to visit Cuba, Russian ambassador to Havana Andrei Guskov told Sputnik. Guskov also stated that Russian loans to Cuba for joint projects in various areas could exceed 1 billion euros. For the restoration and modernization of the Cuban infrastructure, the Cuban government and the Russian railway company signed last October a contract valued at more than 1.8 billion euros, the largest that Russia has ever signed with Cuba.
The United Nations Human Rights Office has issued a report on companies it said have business ties to illegal Israeli settlements in the occupied West Bank, a long-delayed move that has drawn the anger of Israel and its main ally, the United States. The United Nations agency said it identified 112 business entities which it has reasonable grounds to conclude have ties with Israeli settlements, 94 with headquarters in Israel and 18 in 6 other countries. It identified companies listed in the United States, France, the Netherlands, Luxembourg, Thailand, and the United Kingdom. Among these was the U.S.-based home-sharing company Airbnb. Commenting on the report, Palestinian Foreign Minister Riyad al-Maliki hailed the decision, calling it a victory for international law. Publishing this list of companies and entities operating in the settlements is a victory for international law and diplomatic efforts, Maliki said in a statement.
Iranian President Hassan Rouhani says the United States cannot tolerate being driven out of Iran by the 1979 Islamic Revolution and has been dreaming for 41 years of returning to this country, which is now the Middle East's largest power. Rouhani made the remarks while addressing a large crowd of demonstrators who had converged on Tehran's iconic Azadi Square to celebrate the 41st anniversary of the Islamic Revolution. The president said the Islamic Revolution was a choice made by the Iranian nation and that America's enmity towards the nation is rooted in its fear of Islamic power. It's natural that the U.S. cannot tolerate the Islamic Revolution. The victory of a great nation and the expulsion of American superpower from this land. And it is also natural that the U.S. has been dreaming about returning to this land every single night since 41 years ago, Rouhani said. The Americans, he added, know very well how important Iran is. They are well aware of the role Iran plays in the region and of the fact that Iran is one of the biggest powers, or actually the biggest one, in the sensitive Middle East region. That is why American and Zionism have been arch enemies of Iran and its revolution from day one.
You've tuned to Radio Havana, Cuba. Thanks for joining us on the international shortwave radio frequencies of RHC, Radio Havana, Cuba. Let's go back over now to our news with Elena Valverde and Susana Nieves.
Cuban Foreign Minister Bruno Rodriguez says Washington's hostile campaign against Cuba will not help Donald Trump, who seeks to be re-elected this year. Measures to economically asphyxiate Cuba do not favor his election interests, wrote diplomat on Twitter. According to the Cuban top diplomat, the U.S. president is badly advised by those who insist on the blockade against Cuba will raise his approval ratings. Calculations made by Cuban diplomatic mission confirmed that nearly six decades of U.S. blockade have caused damage of over $922 billion, but the human damage caused by the policy cannot be calculated. During the last few months, for example, Washington began applying measures to prevent the supply of fuel to Cuba from different markets. There also are prohibition on all flights from the United States to any Cuban airport except Havana.
The Cuban Minister of Science, Technology and Environment, SITMA, Elba Rosa Pérez, said Thursday that the Cuban plan for confronting climate change is an important example for the 2030 Sustainable Development Agenda. As part of the scientific program of the 12th International Congress University 2020, the minister spoke at a forum of Cuban ministers of the implementation in the country of the Agenda Sustainable Development Goals. She pointed out that science, technology, and innovation are essential to face global challenges such as soil degradation, lack of water resources, increased food production, and prevention of diseases and disasters, among others. She noted Cuba devoted 174 million pesos to the Cuban strategy to face climate change, known as Task Life, which shows importance given to environmental protection. Pérez pointed out that work on the Sustainable Development Goals is not confined to a single organization or sector. The Cuban Science and Technology Minister also noted that despite the tightening of the U.S. blockade, it is a priority for the country to keep the Task Life functioning.
The president of the Supreme Electoral Tribunal of Bolivia, Salvador Romero, has announced that the electoral body had barred 365 candidates for the next presidential and legislative elections, allegedly for failing to comply with legal requirements. The candidates did not present any document which led to their disqualification, and it is no longer possible to present complementary documents, Romero said. Candidates who have been turned away or those who are still being observed and will be discarded may be replaced by their political organizations, which can also replace candidates who resigned, he added. According to the electoral body, the candidacies of Evo Morales to the Senate, of former Minister of Economy Luis Arce to the presidency, and of Diego Pari to the Senate are still under observation by the electoral body. The Supreme Electoral Commission will issue its observations next Monday, February 17th. On February 21st, the body will publish the list of candidates to become president, senators, and members of parliament. As for the disqualifications, political organizations have until March 20th to present their replacements. The general election is scheduled for May 3rd.
Managua has a new police station specifically created to protect women from gender violence as part of the Women Life campaign. Nicaraguan Vice President Rosario Murillo announced that the first of several police stations of this kind will be responsible for the protection of 68,000 women attached to the Police Citizen Security Unit of District No. 1 of Managua to file complaints for aggression, threat, or attempt against her dignity and life. We work tirelessly so Nicaragua remains free from any form of perverse violence, Murillo said, adding, "We say no to cruelty against any woman, to disrespect anywhere under any pretext, from the absurd and patriarchal devaluation." Rosario Murillo, who is also the coordinator of the Communications and Citizenship Council, stated that a part of the campaign is also to keep up they work with family therapists to include more values of tolerance, respect, and understanding into our lives.
Brazil's National Union of Teachers of Higher Education Institutions began consultations with their grassroots organizations to call a national strike in rejection of the far-right President Jair Bolsonaro and his attacks on the Brazilian education system. We've been trying to negotiate insistently with the government, and it has simply ignored us. The strike is a necessity. The president of the National Union of Teachers of Higher Education Institutions, Antonio Gonçalves Filho, said and added that the Bolsonaro administration has deteriorated the teachers' working conditions and salaries, besides being harmed by a government that keeps their salaries low. Brazilian teachers are being affected by budget cuts that deteriorate educational infrastructure and materials. Teachers are concerned about the eventual approval of a constitutional amendment through which Bolsonaro could impose a cut of up to 25% on public servants' hours and salaries. Regarding this aggressiveness against public workers, the University of Brasilia professor Luis Araújo Paschetti recalled that the economy minister Paulo Guedes said that public servants are parasites.
Argentina's social movements, political parties, and unions have marched to protest against the International Monetary Fund, IMF, which has a delegation in Buenos Aires to review the country's public accounts to renegotiate the external debt with President Alberto Fernández. We support the negotiations with the warning that we are not willing to pay the debt with hunger and unemployment, the Union of Workers of the Popular Economy President Esteban Castro said. He also explained that the IMF is responsible for Argentina's huge foreign debt because it lent former President Mauricio Macri unviable amounts at a time when there was no production. In Buenos Aires, marches moved toward the Plaza de Mayo and the National Congress, where the economy minister Martin Guzman explained the current situation of Argentina's indebtedness. Among the organizations that call for demonstrations are the General Confederation of Labor, CGT, the Autonomous Central of Argentinian Workers, the National Federation of University Professors, the Communist Party, and the Territorial Liberation Movement. The fund may change its officers, but its nature will never change. The loans and programs have always been a tool to dominate and subordinate the nations. CGT spokesperson Juan Carlos Schmidt said and added that the mobilizations will have the slogan, "Debt is with people."
And those are some of the stories we're following for you. Let's take a look once again at our headlines.
Council of Ministers visits Cienfuegos province.
Cuba and Russia expand cooperation.
UN lists firms linked to illegal Israeli settlements in the West Bank.
Iranian president says U.S. dreams of regime change in Tehran.